Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Everything is Tine podcast. My name is Jeremy.
My name is Ruby.
And today we are exploring a topic that we are both experts in, and that is the art of being indecisive.
Exactly.
Which fits because we spent 20 minutes trying to figure out what to talk about today. So, on brand.
It is on brand for us. Exactly. I mean, if there's anything that's on brand for us is being like, right before we film, what exactly are we filming?
So indecisive behavior, right? So what are some ways you find yourself being indecisive on a day-to-day basis?
Where do I want to start?
Being indecisive, where you want to start?
I'm indecisive about a lot of things. I mean, normally, okay, but I'm also somewhat of a planner. So like when I leave for work or something, I'm really like indecisive. Like, what am I going to wear today? What is the, I'll think about that a lot. I'll be like, do I want to do this assignment now? Do I want to do it later? And then it's just always later. So am I really indecisive? Maybe not. I think I just give myself the choice, the option to feel better. And then I'm like, later. Am I indecisive or am I just a procrastinator? Maybe that's it. Maybe this only applies to you.
No, you're definitely indecisive.
Like, oh, thanks.
Okay, I mean, I'm thinking of times where it's like, where do you want to eat?
You're the same way. I'm so mad about this. I'm so mad. Jeremy is so indecisive. Okay, we hung out one time. The last time that he was in our hometown. Just the one since middle school. That's our friendship in a nutshell. One hangout was so great. It was like, okay, I'll start a podcast.
It was so impactful. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. So he's going to leave town. And I was like, choose some things to do that like you would find meaningful, that like you would want to do. So I thought he was going to come over to my house with like a plan or something. Doesn't come over to my house with a plan. Doesn't know what he wants to do.
Okay. In my defense for that, my ideal situation is not like, let's go to four things that are impactful from your hometown before you leave. Like if I'm going to meet somebody, I'd rather spend time with someone doing something.
Well, I'd be with you. I wouldn't just be like, okay, Jeremy, bye. Have fun doing that.
That's not really what like the great hangouts are. Usually the great hangouts are like us doing one thing or deciding in the moment to do something and we try it and then it just goes really weirdly. And honestly, that last hangout, it worked. It was through Taco Bell, but it worked. You know, and that was something to be remembered.
I think it has more to do with the fact that we proclaim statements and then proven wrong.
You.
We.
That was a you situation.
This is a we. Bogo. No. This is a we. This is a we.
Groupon. No. But yeah, I mean, I'm indecisive when it comes to food in general. And I don't think, it's not because I don't necessarily have preferences. Like I'm fine making choices when I'm like eating for myself or whatever. But if I'm trying to base some sort of decision off of how other people are feeling, I tend to defer to what they want to do, which works super well when that person is good at that and loves doing it. But I've noticed that I tend to have friends that do the same thing. And so we enter a cycle of, well, both wanting to kind of be considerate of the other person and wanting to do what they want to do, which then leads to nothing.
Well, it doesn't lead to nothing. It leads to process of elimination.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a little bit chaotic. I'd rather someone just pick for me. Although, like, I'm really indecisive about picking where we eat. But once I get to the restaurant and I look at the menu, somehow I'm always like, this is exactly what I'm getting. Even if it's ridiculous, it's like this.
It's almost like you go from an unlimited number of choices, which is hard to consider, to 30. And then once you're at 30 and that's what the choices are, you can make a decision.
But it's almost like I'm clouded. I see one thing that I like and then I'm like this. And I don't even think about anything else. Or like we're indecisive and then we just choose the same places. So the amount of times we've been to like In-N-Out has been a lot.
Yeah. Interesting. So are you a creature of habit in terms of like you order the same thing at a restaurant whenever you go there? Or do you always get something new?
Oh, I don't always get something new. But I'm also not like the person who's like doing the same. I don't like ordering the same thing over and over again all the time. I also like trying new dishes, but most of the time when I go with people, they'll order stuff and then we'll just like be like, oh, look, we can try like some of this, some of that. So it's not necessarily like all on me because I don't want to get something and then hate it. But also I've never really had a problem with that before. So like I like being adventurous if it's something I think I'm really going to like. But if it's something that I know I'm not going to like, but I want to try, then I'll just be like, is someone else getting it?
question. How does the Captain Crunch milkshake fit into this narrative? You're like, this is something I absolutely am going to love. I don't need to have a backup plan.
I wasn't that hungry. And then I almost later on passed out that night because I hadn't had dinner because I had two sips of a milkshake that wasn't very good. It just looked nice, you know? Like,
no, I don't know. I did not share this opinion. Milkshake.
Didn't it look nice? It did look nice. Don't lie to the audience. It was so sparkly and like...
That's really when I know that a dairy product is good, is when it sparkles at me. Mm. Yeah, I walk into Brahms and like, your ice cream isn't sparkling today. Must not be a fresh batch.
We just have very different opinions when it comes to the aesthetic of food. Like,
and is it... Okay, here's a question. Is the lack of love, if you will, for decision-making based upon... in the moment, not wanting to make the decision, or concerned about the repercussions of making the decision?
The second one, because there's like a plethora of different like repercussions you can get from that. The thing is like in my head, okay, so if there's like a scenario, especially in like friendships and stuff like that, or like anything in an environment that's dealing with more than one person, it's like, okay, if I do this, then in my mind, I think of like 50 different possibilities. And then the problem is that like, I don't know which one of those is in actuality going to happen if I do this. Mm-hmm. So then I don't like making the decision because it's too like, I can't narrow it down once it's in my mind of like, this is a probability.
I'm the same way. It's worse because it's not the in the moment decision. It's what's going to happen 10 minutes from now.
Right.
And I guess that's just general anxiety, frankly.
We don't have anxiety.
No, just indigestion. It's not anxiety.
We just need to breathe more. We have a lack of oxygen. That's what we're diagnosed with. It's not anxiety. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of oxygen.
Yeah, I love that you're see, this is different though. So we got different diagnoses. Like yours was breathe more. Mine's always been, did you try drinking water? So like now we have
these yours two. Is dehydration and mine is lack of oxygen.
Correct. Put them together. We're just Aquaman. It's going to be great.
We're Aquaman.
And I remember seeing Aquaman. He didn't have tons of anxiety, you know.
Interesting.
I was going to make a reference to the Little Mermaid, but I do recall her having a fair amount of anxiety. So that didn't work with the narrative. So.
Right. Yeah. Us without anxiety. I wonder what would that be like?
Us with anxiety is Ariel. Us without anxiety, Aquaman.
Right. Right, exactly. Oh my god.
And then like whenever we're drunk, become Sebastian from Little Mermaid.
My goal is to have no anxiety that we're just Buddy the Elf.
Interesting. He's not indecisive with his food choices in that film. Mm-hmm. So
we need to become like that. That's the true higher form.
Oh, okay. But I mean, it's even hard for me when I'm like, say you're trying to buy a computer monitor, a really random example. I think there are some people that will just go to a website and just see one that they like and they'll get it. And that is just not the process for me. It's like hours upon hours of researching and comparing. Do I really want this? Do I really want that?
Reading reviews and seeing the pictures people post. And it's mm-hmm. like, okay, so this is how it actually looks. Right. Like I have like a bunch of things hearted on Amazon. Now I have to like go through it and figure out which one I actually want. My yep. friends will be like, oh, did you get that? I'm like, no, I'm still looking. Right. Like, I just can't, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of places where I'm not indecisive because I am. Even like when I do things, like it's not just
when I do things.
It's not like, no, I'm indecisive. This is like before I do something, it's like I'm indecisive. Like, do I want to do this or not want to do this? But then that was also repercussions because like, say I like, send a text to someone and then I send a text to them and then it's just like, okay, so like I'll think about that afterwards. I'll be like, okay, like what are the repercussions? It just doesn't stop. It's like, okay, well, should I have done that? Should I not have done that? It's not something that's only asked before you do it. It's like mm-hmm. asked afterwards. I'm not indecisive in friendships. It's like, I pretty much know, oh, I want to be friends with this person or I like don't mm-hmm. really want to be friends with this person. But I have a harder time. So like I'll make decisions without thinking about like long-term effects when it comes to friendships. And then once I'm in it, then it's hard to make the decision to be like, should I still be friends with them? Should I not be friends with them? Once you've already bought something, it's like, do I want to like, do I like need this? Like, is this like good for me? I don't know.
So for you, friendships are initially window shopping.
No, but that was just an analogy. I don't think of my friendships as transactions.
Actually, all of my friendships are just me, the Monopoly man.
It's just a Best Buy. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's on. I remember filling out the application to be your friend years ago. Mm, you're like, are you a best buy? Yes or no?
Hey, you skipped the waiting list, so you should be happy.
This is true. I'm really glad I skipped the waiting list.
He's like, is it too late to be put back on? He's like,
what even is the waiting list? So like in your, say your real world.
Tangent.
No, for sure. But like, say your real world friendship is a best buy. What is the waiting list? Like an Arby's?
It's like people. No, it's just people outside the store who I'm just then like, okay, so like, should they be like in the store or like, should I keep them waiting in line? So like, Jeremy, you can get bumped to the back of the line. Like, you're no longer sold in our store. You're now just at the back of our line.
That's a phrase. So this is what happens, people. Best Buys get very dangerous this time of year.
I mean, I'm not trying to make my friendship sound like a transaction. Like,
no, I don't. You aren't. But, no, but it's interesting because I think most people, they would think more about the initial decision to become friends with someone or not. And then once they're in it, they would think less about it, maybe. Maybe that's not true. But analogous to that, I'm sort of thinking about, this is tangential or not, I think most people will have, like, we'll run through scenarios and anxiety about it. Like, say you're taking a test, right? They'll have a lot of that front loaded up until the test, and they'll like stress about it, and they'll go through scenarios of what happens if I get this on the test, what happens if I get that on the test. And then once they turn in the test, all that anxiety and stress and scenario building is gone for them. Like, it's released for them. So for me, it's the complete opposite. Sure, I'll maybe be stressed about like studying for an exam, but the main bulk of the anxiety and the scenario building is after. I am far more stressed in between when I turn it in and I get the grade back than I am prior to an exam. And that's anxiety, kids.
It depends on what it is. Like, after a presentation, I don't care about being graded. I just care about the buildup to that's much worse for me. If I'm giving like a presentation, it's like, I'm more worried about speaking in front of people than I am like someone grading me on it, but not on tests. On tests, it's like, well, on tests, you either know you know it or you don't. So it's like, okay.
That's not true for me.
Oh, well, with all my previous classes, like I either knew it or just like, I really didn't. That didn't really scare me as much. I think it was more like, it's papers for me. It's like, did I miss a citation? Did I forget to put a citing after like quotation marks? Did I like forget a reference page? So I will, that's where I get anxiety. I'm like, did I submit it online? Did turn it in call me out on plagiarism even though there was none?
Interesting.
Oh my gosh. Being left on read also gives a lot of anxiety, or things like that when you like send a text and then you can see that someone's read it and then you're like, well, what was the reaction to that? Why haven't they answered?
I guess that, weirdly enough, I don't think that gives me as much anxiety as it should.
It gives me anxiety. Like, I was left on read recently and I was just like, oh my God. you-
I mean, because I view it kind of similar to people that have like Androids, right? Like, you can't see if they don't reply to you, then they don't reply to you. You
know? Right, but it's worse if you've seen that they've, I don't know why, but it's worse to me. Like, it's much better to be not knowing if they've read it or not than like seeing that they've read it and then chose not to respond. It also gives me anxiety to like, okay, you get those people who only reach out during the holidays and they haven't talked to you the whole year. It's like, well, do I continue a conversation with them now? Like, it's so awkward. That like exchange of stuff, I'm like,
yeah.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
It's like, okay, am I like friendly? How friendly is too friendly?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have indecision about whether or not you should reply to that to begin with?
Depends on who it is. Most of the time I'll reply, but then it's like, if they keep continuing the conversation, it's like, well, now what? And then the worst is when they're like, let's hang out. I don't know. This is one of my least favorite things, is getting contacted by people I haven't spoken to in years who want to like, maybe it's just because I've never personally done this, but I would not ever text someone I haven't spoken to in a whole year being like, happy birthday, Merry Christmas. But people do this all the time. And I know my friends also have gotten messages from other people. They're like, this so-and-so sent me a text and I haven't spoken to them in months. And like, what am I supposed to do now? I'm like, it's just so, what is going through people's minds? Like, is it just like they genuinely want to reconnect with people, or they just think it's like, I'm going through everyone in my contact list? Like,
I think part of it's also just like guilt of not having spoken to someone in so long. For whatever reason, during the holidays, it's a time of like reflection and thinking back on things in people. So I think that's also part of the reason why people be like, oh, I haven't spoken to this person in a while. I'll send them a quick Merry Christmas, you know, text, or Happy Holidays, or Happy Hanukkah, or whatever you celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, and all through college, Jeremy didn't talk to me, and I always just got a random Happy Hanukkah text every year. And I was like...
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
At least he hasn't forgotten me.
Yeah, no.
Or Hanukkah.
No. Hanukkah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but really, I think that's why people do it. And that's why I've done it some in the past. But honestly, I think the last time I did that was like in mass, right? Like more than five people was probably like...
I think it's like mass, like the Catholic church service.
Oh yeah,
I was
yeah.
So confused.
Yeah,
just in mass, lastly,
in the middle of mass, like in the middle of confession. Actually, I just said, "Yo, Pastor
I was like,
Man."
We have skipped a few chapters of your life. If yeah. I'm hearing you be like in mass,
no, but I, like to less than like five people. Like I've been doing to less than probably like five, six people for the last few years. But earlier I'd be like, oh, I haven't talked to, especially people from high school, like freshman year, I'd be like, oh, I haven't spoken to this person in a while. I'll send them like,
in a while. I'm sorry. If it's freshman year of college, it's not that long.
I understand how people do it, but I don't do it as much now because I received them and I now don't know how to reply to them. And the longer it gets worse, the longer you haven't spoken to somebody. So,
I mean, you try to find like common ground, but then it's like, well, that's the thing. You can even have common ground with that person still. Like, you can still like the same things and stuff and like talk, but it's just not the same. I think it's just weird meeting people that you haven't seen in a while. Like, even if we had a high school reunion, how much of my life am I going to even want to like share with people?
I'm not going to that.
Even no. If like our group friend, why can I not talk?
I can't wait to see my group friend.
Right. No, I mean like, we show up, we're like a BOGO. You got both of us.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god, that would be a good Halloween costume as like a Groupon.
we carry on a picture of Sweet Daddy Harry in our wallet. I'm like, this is our sugar daddy. Anyway, no, I think that like, even if like our friend group from high school were to be like, let's meet up, I would consider it. But would I consider it now? I don't know.
I don't even know what that would be at this point.
If everybody agreed, I would do it. But knowing me, I would agree. And then like one or two other people would show up. And then I'd be like, no, it needs to be all or nothing. Everyone or no one.
You want it to be all of them? Really?
I would rather do all of us than none of them. Like literally me and like two other people. That'd be so awkward.
It would be dependent upon who was going. There are scenarios where if it's just like you, me, and another person, it'd be great.
What about all of us? What if everybody agreed to go? If everybody else went.
I'm not going to that.
He's like, no.
I'm not.
I know our mutual friend wouldn't. So then it would just be like me and like other people. And I'm not sure.
It would be you and every person that you disliked from that group. Quite literally.
I'd be so mad at you for not showing up. I'd be like, we're a BOGO. Where are you?
My reply, like over text, would be like, they can buy one, but they can't get one.
I would hate you. I would be like, field trip to Jeremy's.
Oh my God.
I think there would be so much anxiety in that. It's like, how much am I willing to tell someone mm-hmm. about my life after? Okay, how long does it have to be before you're willing to like, okay, like what is too long for you for not talking to someone before you just stop telling them about your life?
Depends on the person. Because for some people that I didn't like, it was like the day after we graduated high school.
Well, yeah, okay. I just...
I don't...
Okay, like if we didn't talk for 2 years...
We've invested so many years at this point, it would not matter.
Okay.
To me, at least.
But also a lot can happen. And just like, I even think about like the pandemic, like the people I spoke to during the pandemic and the people mm-hmm. I spoke to before, it's like, well, a lot happened in a year. Like how much am I also like, if a lot happens, like I'm not, how much am I willing to tell that person? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, all this happened.
It's an interesting question. I don't know if it's made partially dependent upon age, if it's partially dependent upon just what's going on in the world too. I don't know.
I think it just depends on also like favoritism to some extent. Even like us meeting with like our mutual friend was also kind of awkward because it was like, how much am I sharing with this person?
Which was interesting because I didn't feel it nearly as much one-on-one.
For you, I don't know, even sure if I met with that mutual friend one-on-one, I'm not really sure how much I would still be inclined to like catch up that person on my life. Probably less than you were one-on-one with that person.
Yeah.
like.
I think it just depends on the person. I will say though, in terms of like indecision, there's a fair bit of indecision if you're meeting in a group setting with people you haven't seen in years, in terms of how to act, what you can and can't say, what their perception is of you, ultimately leads to a ton of indecision in terms of how to act, at least for me.
Sense of humor.
Sense of humor.
Right. So for you, like in order to be close to someone, do they have to have the same sense of humor as you or no? Can you believe it?
We've talked about this some previously.
And I don't remember your answer though.
I know. I go back and forth on it because I initially want to say, oh, sense of humor. I can be close friends with someone who doesn't have the same sense of humor as me. But I think it's substantially more difficult. Honestly, I know we're similar in this. Once I get to know someone better, I like engaging in the bantery kind of humor. And if they can go back and forth with the sarcasm and the banter, that's sort of like another layer towards getting to know somebody and feeling comfortable, at least for me. So I think it kind of does matter.
Yeah. For me, it's more like inside jokes. Like I like making inside jokes with people. So like the more inside jokes I have with people, it's like you feel close with people when you have like inside jokes. Like I've always had inside jokes with like all my friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like that, you can't do that if they don't have your same sense of humor. Also, there's nothing that's like share. There's nothing that bonds me to them. It's like, wasn't this hilarious? And they just like don't understand it. And it's like, I don't understand. Now, to be fair, I think we have very niche senses of humor. Because I'm sorry, but I didn't think we did until our mutual friend watched that JD the Jet Plane episode with us. And then I realized like, maybe we do.
And that was a Skylandia episode, which was
that wasn't even funny. The funniest part was just the audacity. Who animated that? Like, I want to know. Like who voiced that? Like, what did they put in the script?
Incoherent psychobabble. I mean, I don't know what Herky was saying. And I don't think Herky knew what Herky was saying.
But see, I don't think I could bond with people over Herky the helicopter humor.
So here's a scenario-based question, right? How much anxiety and indecision would you have? So you have a group of friends over that you kind of semi-know, but not super well. How much indecision would you have putting the Skylandia episode up?
I would not. It wouldn't even cross my mind. That is like a ride or die friendship group that needs to happen before I put on JD the Jet Plane Skylandia. Like, no.
It's like, everyone put on an episode of your favorite show, Skylandia.
You and I find it funny, but I really don't think everybody would. I think people would think we're insane.
See, I would do that anyway. I think.
Would you?
I think so.
Because you like uncomfortable situations. I just find them uncomfortable. And then there's situations and I don't want to be in them.
There'd be a prime people watching opportunity. Putting on Skylandia for people who have no context.
I don't want to ever do that. That would be so scary. I would be mortified. Like if I ever had like a party where I had everybody like play their favorite episode and you had the audacity to play Skylandia, JD the Jet Plane, I would kick you out. I would be like, goodbye. No, I don't know. There's like a lot of anxiety and like sense of humor. And then it's even worse. Okay. I have more anxiety. Okay. Here, answer this question. Do you have more anxiety with childhood friends that you haven't seen in years? Or would you have more anxiety with a group of people that you don't really know who are strangers, but you're just trying to get to know? Who are you going to have more anxiety of in like a room full of?
Childhood friends.
Because it's like, they all expect me to act a certain way.
Yep.
But the problem, I mean, it would be even worse if they were all from different points in my childhood. Like they all didn't go to school together. That would be so bad. It would just be like, how much do they know? How much information have I given them? Like, I don't
know. Yeah, there's an expectation, which is hard.
It's even worse if there's just a combined group. People you don't know and your childhood friends. It's like,
oh, that's terrible.
It's awful. So that's why I never liked birthday parties where everybody would invite every single person from their childhood and their horrible classmates. It's like, no, I'm only inviting like my close friends.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But is there any other avenue of life that you can think of that where it's just like indecision is a common trend, or is it just everything?
I think it's just everything.
It is kind of.
If you're someone with anxiety, it's everything. I think other people mm-hmm. probably have facets to it. I'm bad with emails, things like that. It's just like, I'll draft emails and just not send them. I'll tell myself I drafted it and then I actually didn't draft it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it gives me so much anxiety to write an email. I don't know why. It's because I make it all formal. Like, I don't like being the person who's like, hi, so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. I have to be like, hello, then like full title. And then like, I have to like check for punctuation. And I don't have Grammarly. No. Like, literally. I don't know. I just get anxiety with a lot of stuff. So I don't think it's like a, even buying things, it's like, I get so much anxiety after I, like, if I've been wanting something and then I buy it, I feel anxious afterwards being like, I just spent all that money on this. Like, did I really need this? Like,
yeah, I feel that. It's part of the reason I'm holding on to my phone for as long as it possibly can be around.
Like, I mean, Best Buy had a huge sale on like Apple Watches. So I was like, I bought one and I was like,
oh, you did.
What am I going to do? It's like, I haven't opened it yet. I was like, it was just like, okay, this will be interesting to see how it goes. I was like, this will be fine. But it just like large purchases, I'm like, okay. But no, Apple Watch, I was like, no, this will be interesting. I see so many people with it. I'm like, is it useful? It looks useful.
I mean,
Apple seems sometimes is just like how useful is my iPhone? You know, I'm like, I mean, I know it's useful because it's like an easy user interface, but like what, in terms of what it can actually do, I mean, I guess it can do a lot. I don't know.
I mean, it can do, come on, versus like 10 years ago, these iPhones are amazing.
No. I mean, in general, like with like other phones on the market comparatively.
Oh yeah. Part of the reason I'm holding on to mine that's like 7 years old is like, well, I mean, yeah, the new ones can do stuff, but like the functionality that I use it for, you know, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, I still haven't updated my iPhone though.
It's good. The 15 is not bad. iOS 15.
I just need to get like new Memoji outfits.
Oh,
I my selling point is like,
the annoying thing that it does do, which I will warn you about, is how it processes pictures in iMessage.
Oh, it's just like a group of photos.
It's so annoying. They did it because they think it's aesthetically pleasing, and I guess that it is, but if I'm just trying to click on a picture, it's like I have to now do multiple things versus
before. I mean, that sounds awful. I've read up about it. I was like, I do like the functionality where it's like giving you the option to have it set for like work mode, sleep mode, school. That's great because I for years now, I've just kept my phone on do not disturb 24/7. So
really?
Any notifications I get, yeah, I never have my ringer on ever. I haven't had my ringer on in like 4 years. I never have like I have do not disturb on, like my phone, literally it's like ringer off, do not disturb mode. All calls and notifications will be silenced 24/7.
Wow.
So I don't see anyone's text until I look at my phone. I just don't, I hate like, it gives me anxiety to have it on.
Just because you feel like you have to reply to people or why?
I feel like it's getting like a bunch of texts. I'm like, I should respond. And then I've read it. And then once I opened it, what if I forget that I read it and I don't respond? I'm not the fastest replier though, for those of you listening.
This is true.
I've gotten better though, because like in years previous, it would be like, someone would be like, hey, and a month would go by. And then I would be like, hey. So I've gotten better. I'm trying to think of other things I'm indecisive about. No, I think I'm pretty decisive. I think making choices is more difficult. I think I'm pretty decisive.
I'm pretty decisive. I just think making choices is more difficult. That's your quote.
I think making choices is more difficult depending on what it is. But I think that like all the conversations that I've had with you are flashing through my mind. Like, can I really call myself not indecisive? It's amusing because I feel like I'm decisive. And then I like flash back to all these conversations I have with Jeremy on the phone. Like, so what should I do? I should do this, right? I'll make decisive statements and then add like question marks onto the
Oh, yeah. Just declarative sentences that she puts a question mark at the end. And I'm like, what? No.
So interesting. I should definitely cut this person off, right?
This person is objectively bad for me and my mental health, right?
I've done that so much, though. A lot.
It is something you do a lot. And it's just like, okay. So she knows what the right answer is, but she just wants someone to be like,
I don't
yes.
always know what the right answer is, though. Like, I'm hoping that I'm getting it right. And so I'm like, right. And I just want support. And it's just like.
Anyway. Yeah. That's a form of indecision, though. Kind of.
Yeah. The other form is just like blindly avoiding any decisions. So I just sit there doing nothing about situations I should be doing something about. It's like, okay. And then like, it'll be months go by. I'm like, Jeremy, how did I get in this situation?
That's my favorite. Or when I'll tell you, this is what you probably should do. And then you'll be like, Jeremy, this has all happened all of a sudden. Why was I not warned?
That's how I feel sometimes. And then I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I dug myself into this grave. I think I tend to get myself in those situations more than you. Or I'll get myself into situations where it's like, this is kind of not great. And then I'll describe to Jeremy and he's like, yes, this is a huge red flag.
You'll be like, and then they drove over me with their Toyota Prius. And I'll be like, that is a red flag.
I'm not a logistics person. I didn't think it through at all.
But you know who else didn't think about stuff at all? Whoever directed and wrote this movie.
Right. This movie is called Christmas Royalty.
Christmas in the Royal Fashion. Oh my God. We'll get there.
Christmas. No, that's the name of it. Christmas it, something the Royal Fashion.
Is it really? It might be Christmas in Royal Fashion, actually, now you say it.
I think it is.
I think it was that good, guys.
If you like Buzz Lightyear and wigs, you should watch this movie.
That makes it sound like it's a Buzz Lightyear drag show, and it's not nearly that fun.
Well, I can have Jeremy describe the whole plot to you. I'm going to sit here and just add stuff in, but I think Jeremy...
Are you sure?
Take this one.
Why do I want to take... This is your pick. Why do I want to take this one? Okay, I can try. So the opening credits are going, and we eventually get to the scene of... There's a prince, right? I don't know his name. I don't think either of us know his name. Prince...
He's like Buzz Lightyear, but also like a live-action Buzz Lightyear cosplaying as a British prince because his accent was not... Like, it was bad.
So I looked it up, right? Because I had the title open. And I'm thinking, oh, it's some like really elaborate name that I can't think of. No. Prince Patrick. Which is correct.
Like Patrick Star.
Yes, because I remember making the comment, oh, it's like Patrick Star if you're a prince. Yeah, it opens and then there's like this weird, it's confusing because they're in a kingdom. I don't remember what kingdom it is. But he's the prince, and then his father, who's king, is getting on his case about high credit card bills and not performing his normal duties as Prince Patrick of Patrickville? I have no idea. And so the solution to this, which we didn't really actually discuss in the moment, but it's actually very bizarre, is like, okay, Prince Patrick, you're in charge of acting as a representative for the kingdom for... a marketing firm that's doing a fashion show in Phoenix, Arizona.
But they were supposed to send the ambassador and they didn't.
No, my point is like, but why? Okay. Why is a kingdom, like why is a country being like, okay, we need an ambassador to go to this marketing firm's fashion show for reasons?
Yes. But like the whole firm is a photography firm. But like the photos that they have on their walls and like the photo samples that they showed were very much like mom is now a class photographer on photo day.
It was very Tumblr from 2012. They're supposed to be like magazine shoots. This is why I was confused because on one hand I thought, okay, are they like a fashion photo place? And I'm like, okay, well maybe that's the case, but then it didn't really make sense then how there was so much discussion about like marketing strategies and then hosting a fashion show. Like why would they host the fashion show if they just contract people to come in to take photos?
Like I told you, I don't think about logistics. I just think about the fashion and the aesthetic. Like,
that's the episode. I don't think about logistics. I just think about the fashion.
I mean, with my life, I don't think about the logistics of my life. I just pick the outfits for it.
You know? But there's like boss lady whose name is Melanie. I'm doing this just so we have names. And then there's
remember these.
Melanie. And then her assistant is Kristen.
I'm not going to remember
them. They're both blonde. They're both like if Megyn Kelly were a Hallmark actress.
I'm trying to think of characters. I'm not going to remember Melanie and Kristen.
Melanie and Kristen. Melanie is the boss.
Melanie's the boss. And then Kristen is like
Kristen,
a photographer. I don't know her name. Blonde Kristen. Number one. She's like a photographer, a fashion designer, an intern. Honestly, I don't know.
I think she's an assistant to the boss, but it's unclear what they do. Because are they also event planners? Because they were planning this whole event. It didn't make any sense.
What the roles were. So the boss lady, she's like super mean. And then this like Bond number one, she's like
Kristen.
She's just there. And then like her little fortune teller friend is like, okay, well, you know what you should do? You should like, what was the plot?
So the plot was photography, marketing, event, fashion show firm, got a lead from one of their main sponsors about a new lead potentially in Boston. So then Melanie, the boss, flies to Boston when the ambassador, who they think is going to be the ambassador, comes to do the whole event and fashion show for their firm. And so then that means Kristen, or as you're saying, blonde number one, is there and has to take over the responsibilities of Melanie while she's away. But her friend had the brilliant idea that instead of just, you know, showing the prince, who they find out is the prince, not the ambassador, a good time, she should instead cosplay as Melanie and wear all of her clothing and pretend to be her, because that will make the experience better for the prince.
So right off the bat, fortune teller's friend is just not great.
She's garbage. And then nothing happens in this movie for an hour.
It was really strange because it's like nothing happened and everything happened. Because it's like, you know, in those movies where you see like a montage of the characters getting to know each other slowly. This happened in like 2 seconds. It's like they meet, they go out for dinner, and then all of a sudden they're at a kid's hospital, like giving gifts and like seeing people, and they look like a couple already, and it was very weird. And she's still lying about her identity, and it's just like, okay.
It was weird because normal scenes in a movie of this length, because it's like a 90-minute movie, it's not a short movie, they're going to range from like 3 to 8 minutes, probably. This was like 1 to 2.5 minute scenes back to back to back to back to back of just various things that kind of connected. So it felt like it was kind of exhausting to watch because it was like a lot happening. But then when you think back to it, it's like nothing really happened. It was just one scene of them eating quite literally Italian sub sandwiches next to a pool. And the prince had acted like he'd never seen a sandwich before. And then another scene of them just like clapping at a Christmas tree something. And like another scene of them just like walking around.
Then another guy who like works for the company like calls the boss, and then he's like, oh, you should watch the TV because like this is happening.
Yeah.
And then so she watches it and she finds out that like blonde number one is impersonating her. And so she's like not happy about it. And she's like, I would have been there like if I had known, blah, blah, blah. And so that's happening. But like, it's strange because like, when do they find out she's not really?
Prince and Kristen go to what appears to be a Bennigan's, I don't know, and they order wine and they're going to sit down, and then they're confronted by this guy who works for the company and then Melanie, who had, I guess, flown from Boston, and they sort of do this expose that, oh, Kristen is pretending to be Melanie, and this whole impactful scene, impactful in the biggest quotes ever, and she being Melanie fires her assistant Kristen, all the while there's this underlying plot of the prince and Kristen meeting this the girl in a children's hospital who doesn't really play much of a role in the film, other than she's just sort of like the center point by which the main characters meet and like bond over, which felt a little weird to me. It's like, okay, they're gonna be like using this person as a prop for like their own character development. Like, the more I think about that, I don't know how I feel about that.
Neither one of them has strong enough personalities to hold up on their own. I know nothing. I know more about the girl with the wig than like these other two people.
I mean, yeah, the girl in the children's hospital, who I believe they didn't really say cancer explicitly, but I think it was implied.
I think so. But was it though?
I think so.
She didn't seem like, nothing was in that hospital room. It's like, was she actually sick? There's not even a monitor. They didn't have any props in that room. It was a hospital bed. That was it. And she was wearing a wig. There's no other props. So it's like not very believable.
Yeah, but I don't know how much this film was going for believability, considering the palace that the prince started out in looked like a Cheesecake Factory. So I don't...
No, it looked like a real estate agent, like little whatever. And then like they go to the hotel in LA, and that looked like if the Cheesecake Factory had a hotel branch. Literally the same style.
Yeah, the Cheesecake Hotel Factory coming to a city near you.
The Cheesecake, there has to be a better name than that.
The Cheese House Factory, the
Cheesecake. No, it says to be the Cheesecake. The Cheesecake. What's another name for a hotel that starts with an F?
With an F? I can only think of like a hostel. That's an A. It's not F. Like a Cheesecake Hostel.
That would be so bad.
Like, none of the options are good. Like, the Cheesecake Inn is also terrible.
Can you imagine like buying the like reservation?
Like, what is everybody like the Cheesecake Home and Suites?
Why am I picturing like like a hotel like that with like the Cheesecake Factory decor, but then everybody who works there is just like the thumbs from Spy Kids or the Oompa Loop. Like, that's what's going through my mind right now. It's sunny. They just bring you cheesecake at any time of the day.
That's all that they have for ordering into the hotel room is just cheesecake. Yeah. There's literally no good name. It's like Cheesecake Inn is bad. Like Super Cheesecake is bad.
Super Cheesecake. Well, which one? Cheesecake Hotel is probably, but that sounds weird.
The Cheesecake Garden Inn?
That's going to be our next narrative. Just the Cheesecake Factory decides to open a hotel chain.
And they're contemplating the names. This can be really thrilling for people to listen to.
You know, then like, you know, we build characters who end up going to like the opening of that.
Right. Like, so there's plain cheesecake, there's raspberry cheesecake.
All the rooms are just named after different types of cheesecake.
They actually didn't use like drywall. It's just cheesecake.
Yeah. Here's a spoon. Dig in. We don't serve breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
This is true. Anyway, back to the movie. I don't know. It seemed like this kid who was sick was being used as a prop to try to like make the main characters endearing, which I didn't love. And then there's this whole... This part is so boring.
It's just like, can we just move on? Can an asteroid just come down from Earth? Like,
honestly.
Come down from Earth. Come down and hit Earth.
It's just an asteroid in the clouds. The main thing that happens next is the fashion show, which kind of like ends the whole thing.
Nothing was good. It's like at a pajama party when you and your friends are like, okay, let's do a fashion show. And I have seen better outfits made out of toilet paper at those like fashion shows than these that were shown on the runway.
Basically, like someone walked into a department store, had no bearing on what they were getting, and walked out with like patterned yoga pants that they paired with, I don't even know what to call it, like a coat.
Okay, those patterned yoga pants, they were popular, but like in 2018, no. I remember people wearing them in high school.
They did, yeah, that's true.
But it was still, my problem was the fact that none of the outfits look like they belong to the same collection.
Oh my God. My favorite thing was when they're like, here's a fall pattern, and it was like pink and blue.
It's like marigolds. It's like, what are you doing? Like, have you seen a winter? Like, are you from Florida?
I don't know. They kept saying so that. They kept saying, like, here's the winter collection. Meanwhile, it's like gold and green.
It's like a summer dress. It's like, okay, great. It's like, I'd love to see you go to Canada in that.
I don't know. It was not also great.
Yeah, I remember you being like, even the like little girl's dress is way better than everybody else's.
It was.
Also, can we talk about what he was wearing? Mr. Buzz Lightyear, Prince Caspian,
From afar, it didn't look terrible. Whenever they would zoom in, I'm like, y'all made a mistake.
Did it look good from afar?
Yeah, if you squinted.
If you took off your glasses and watched this movie, the fashion was impeccable.
No, I wouldn't even stand by that because the fashion show stuff was pretty bad. But his stuff looked, his stuff was made out of like styrofoam and Elmer's glue. Like, it was not great.
It wasn't a great movie, but they get together at the end, spoiler alert.
Yes, because somehow a friend brings Kristen to the to the event and has her give a speech. All of a sudden, based upon the guy who at the beginning was like a sponsor for them, he's like, you should come work for me, Kristen. And then her old boss is like, no, you're going to work for me now. As a, it was one of those like jobs that has a description or a title that doesn't actually mean anything. It was like, you're going to be an assistant executive manager of the people. It was like, okay. And she accepted it. And it's like, all right, fine. And the movie ends and they give a bunch of like, here's what happened to the character 7 years later.
We do not care.
And both of us were like, we don't care. Literally no one cares.
No one cares. No one. What would we give this movie?
This is a hard one because it wasn't ridiculous in the plot to me.
It sounded stupid.
It did sound stupid.
I thought what would be ridiculous was the fashion, but it wasn't like ridiculous fashion. It was like just bad. I would give this like a 3 out of 4. A 3 out of 10.
I'm going to go 2 out of 10.
Mm.
Because I don't think it wasn't funny to me.
No, it didn't have any redeeming song breaks like our other previous movies have.
It didn't really have much of a plot. That, honestly, you could take the middle 40 minutes of this movie out and it would be fine.
Yeah, you can watch the first scene, one of the middle scenes, and then the end scene and you'd be good.
All the scenes where they're getting to know each other, you do not need for context.
It's montage. It's like elevator music and montage.
It is. It is like one of those, you buy those like electric picture frames that has pictures that go from one to the other. It's that, but in movie form for the middle 45 to 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie needed to be edited heavily. It could have been a 58-minute movie, and it would have been still not great, but like fine. I don't know. I mean, the only part that sent me was really just like the audacity of them having the fashion show and them showing up in yoga pants and then claiming that the seasons were something and then showing stuff that didn't have anything to do with the seasons and being like, yeah, it's fall. Like, that made me laugh.
No, it was not great. We wouldn't recommend this movie.
No, it's honestly, you can find better schmaltzy Christmas Hallmark movies than this. I don't think people need to go get this or see it. But you know, if you need something to have on the background, I guess it's not offensive.
Right. If you need something to play in the dentist waiting room, this is a movie for you.
Right. And you don't really need the sound on because the lines are not good enough to warrant the sound being on.
No, they're not impactful or ridiculous lines where they need to be heard.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the movie. I guess we should transition into the book review. Okay. So it's Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Last Straw. You want to go first?
All right. No, you go first.
Okay. Oh, let's see. So I guess I'll go first then. Tonight, I realized that all of my current problems can be traced back to when someone in my family started stealing the lunch snacks. So I decided to catch the thief once and for all. So I think just the advice right at the gate is don't steal your other family members' lunch snacks. Lunch snacks are sacred. They are to be exalted and beheld by all people. But there reaches a point, right, where if you keep getting something stolen or something that's happened to you over and over and over again that you don't like, you have to call somebody out. You can't just keep sitting there and letting it happen or else you're going to be run over and people think that you have no boundaries or they can just step all over you. So set your boundaries. And if that happens to be that you put like a booby trap in their fridge whenever they try to steal your lunch snacks, then that's just the way it goes.
Right.
That's the advice I have from it is, you know, and maybe
promoting violence.
No, if you no, want no. to. Not violence. A booby trap can be very friendly. Maybe just like a bucket of gelatin that falls on them when they open the fridge.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. Jello, okay. More like gel no.
Okay, anyway. I can't. In fact, I live... Oh, wait, this is so relatable. Okay. In fact, I live for my naps. Sleeping after school is the only way I can really recharge my batteries. And on most days, the second I get home, I'm in bed.
I'm sorry. I recall you giving me crap about taking naps. How is this? How is this so relate? I want to know how this is so relatable.
When the last me backtracking on a bunch of complaints.
Do share how wonderful naps are. I'd love to.
I like how you have this on recording. Well, you know, if you're in school, especially if you're in college, right? If you're in college, I was never a nap person, but let me tell you, once I got to college, I was like, I need a nap in between like classes or things like that, or like extracurricular activities I had. And then after I get out of class, I was like, I need a nap. Naps can be great. You know, I think that like taking naps is a good thing.
Really? I think so too. Mm-hmm.
There's a problem. Oh. When you're just falling. I think your problem, specifically your problem, specifically mm-hmm. Jeremy's problem, is that like he just decides to take a nap without telling people. So we'll have stuff planned and then he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm an hour late. I was just sleeping.
Okay, first of all, I was not an hour late to what just happened. The hyperbole was a lot. Second of all, does that mean that every time you take a nap, you just
decided at 8 o'clock.
No, we did not. And you changed the time.
Oh, you saw that text? I thought you were asleep that whole time.
I woke up. It's not like when I'm asleep and you send a text, it doesn't show up on my phone.
No, but is that how you're setting like a thumbs up? Like I've seen it, but no, that wasn't the case. So anyway,
I was like 15 minutes late then.
But what I'm saying is that like, he just seems like he needs a lot of sleep. And so maybe you should take a little bit more naps, just not in the selected time that we've been like, let's do this.
So my question, I want to just like backtrack to something you said, because I'm really interested in it. So you're like, okay, Jeremy, it's bad that you fall asleep without telling people. Follow up to that. Does that mean every time you take a nap, you send out just a mass text to people like, I'm in nap mode. Ruby is napping. Don't bother me for 35
minutes.
No, but
if I had something planned with someone and I'm like over the time, then I'm like, it's strange to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I was napping.
I fell asleep.
I know. And I was concerned for you. Remember, I was like, hey, we don't have to do this right now. You can go straight to sleep. I was such a nice friend.
But I feel it was fine. We did what we needed to do and we watched the movie and it was great.
I'm just saying that it's strange to be like, you need to plan on getting more sleep, Jeremy.
I'm trying.
And like time your naps accordingly. That way you're getting more sleep.
My naps are not
timed.
But
not in our designated time.
You know when I time my naps? When I'm tired and then I fall asleep. I don't have a timer set on my phone.
You're only tired when you have scheduled things to do with
me. Believe it or not, I'm only tired and take naps when I'm tired. I know. It's a novel concept. And I don't send out a mass text to people being like, it's slumber time.
Well, I don't. Is that what you think I do?
I don't know. I was told naps are bad. Now naps are good. Well, give it 15 minutes. The wind will change.
Give direction. It tomorrow and I'll be lecturing him on naps again.
Yeah. You'll be like, naps are bad. They are bad, Jeremy. Don't do them. Neener, neener. And then like the next
They're
day
carcinogens.
You're like, the audacity of being, it's not even just like naps are okay. You're like, naps are imperative. Once I got to college, naps were just the best thing ever. And I have to have them. And to Jeremy, why are you napping? Maybe you should be sleeping more. What do you think napping is? Napping is sleeping. You think I'm awake when I'm napping?
I mean, why would this be us if we had a talk show? It would just be a really long tangent about something like we are both.
It would be something where it's like you say something directly opposite of what you said before. And it's sending me because it was yesterday. It wasn't like you've had copious amounts of time. I'm like, oh, I changed my sleep schedule. And like, I no longer need naps. It was like 24 hours ago. Naps are the devil. Now, all of a sudden...
I didn't say naps are the devil. You don't have receipts for that. Like, all I'm saying, naps are imperative, but like, don't have naps during my designated time.
Okay. Good advice. Really good advice.
Naps are imperative. Take more naps and schedule your friends better. Don't be.
Schedule your friends.
What I meant. What does schedule that mean? Time with your friends.
Jeremy, you're only allowed to exist from 9 to 11:22, because then I've scheduled somebody else after that.
Places to be, things to do, people to see. Come on. Like
club. Another club. Okay.
Right? That's definitely me. That's, yeah. That was my original audio. I just love going to clubs so much. I'm not, if I recall, though, I'm not the one who's spending a bunch of times in bars recently, so maybe that's your audio. Don't worry, I have that whole rant ready for a different episode.
I haven't told you the full story of it yet, though.
What? There's a full story of it?
You got the abbreviated version of what happened in the bar that one time. Well, that one time being,
was that abbreviated version basically the craziest thing that happened, like the highlight of it? Or
I may have minimized how long it happened and what was said during it.
I mean, what you said was said, like in the sense of like what was being implied or like directly said to you, but was pretty bad.
But there were specific things that I didn't know actually the definition for till I Googled when I got home. I'm like, oh,
you had to Google it?
I had to Google it because I was unaware of certain terms and propositions. Oh. Treaties, if you will.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can just get into Jeremy's sexual advances and escapades. We don't have to. That'll be a February episode. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm scheduling a nap then. So.
Literally all of 2022, Jeremy's just like, I can't film. I'm scheduling a nap.
This is actually my February nap. So.
But I mean, he's just starting to be like a bar hopper. So we'll see how that goes for the next couple of months. And I will keep you guys posted. We'll do a whole February documentary about Jeremy's love life in February. That's what's going to be. It's going to go from Jeremy, like old days where he was flirting part two. Then the next episode is going to be escapades. And then it's going to be his thoughts on marriage. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great
year. I'm going to need a long nap.
No, it's okay. Anyway. You don't need a nap. It's fine. Like,
I'll tell you more of a story. I might editing Jeremy. If that's funny, keep it in. I don't care. I've left in me saying I'm the male Shakira, so I can begin anything.
That's not that bad. That's just strange to say.
It's a strange mental image.
It is a strange mental image. But let's be real. Like, I've said Wendy Wu broke my DVD player unironically. Literally just straight up like, yes, this happened.
Okay, she did. I watched it happen. So
we also, well, actually, you're the one who spoke that into existence by saying maybe Wendy Wu broke your DVD player. And then she did.
She did. Brenda's song is just that powerful.
Brenda's song.
Anyway, that's our episode. Anything we should plug?
Yeah, why don't you go for it? Tell them everything they need.
You keep having me do it. I guess it's because I am the natural fit to plug these things. I am so social.
You were about to say, I am the national treasure. And I was like,
yeah, actually, Nicolas Cage is just trying to find me, which is not something, ooh, now that I've said it, I really want to happen. So we don't need that in our lives.
Universe, are you hearing that? Are you hearing that?
I am not the Declaration of Independence. Anyway. Things that we have out in the internet sphere of things. Everything is Tyne. Instagram. Everything Tyne. Twitter. Everything is Tyne on TikTok. The Friendly 20s on Instagram, which is our other Instagram account about being in your 20s.
Not in the 20s.
Not in the 20s. No. But maybe we'll transition to that. What we're thinking
maybe
about.
Maybe just a little bit.
Facebook, I guess, is Everything is Tyne. We don't know. You can do that if you want. And then listen to old episodes of our podcast. We have like 40 of them now, or
and
almost
gear
40
up
of them.
For, you know, Jeremy's future episodes by going and listening to our flirting episodes, specifically some of our previous narratives. Get ready for it.
Thank you. That's very good. And we'll be doing like an end of year episode.
Listen to all of our previous episodes so you know exactly what we're talking about. Because
yeah.
We'll have some specific references in there.
We will have specific references, but they will hopefully send. So that's all I got. I think I hit everything on the head, right? There's nothing I missed.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, have a good week, everybody. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.